This is the regular meeting of the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District Improvements Committee for September 5th, 2023. We are called to order, and our next item on the agenda is Improvements Staff Report. Michael.
Yeah, first item on that is a proposal for the Clementia Water Supply Source Feasibility Assessment. Currently, the district has the water right to store water in Clementia Reservoir that we pump in and utilize it for potable water supply. What we don't currently have is the approval from DDW to utilize that potable water supply in a potable water system. Currently, we can utilize the water that we pump into Clementia for irrigation or recreation. And we do have the right to pump and use it and store it for potable. What we don't have is approval from DDW to actually utilize that water in our potable system. And so what I have asked Catherine Geis from West Yost to do for us is to kind of put us on track on what we need to do to start the application process to try to get that right to be able to use that water for our potable system. And the other component of the proposal is to give us some kind of a probability of success so we can include this as part of our integrated water master plan. And Catherine, would you like to speak a few words on the process?
Sure, yeah. So getting an echo back, so it's kind of odd, but
we're getting an echo.
I can mute or something because it's really distracting.
I bet I can mute it.
We're going to mute us. Maybe that'll help.
Okay, how's that? Okay.
There, is that better?
Basically DDW, you know, because the water supply is used for recreation in Clementia, it's not as straightforward as just, we're just use this water. The first thing we'll have to do is describe to them, you know, sort of how much detention time, like how much water are we talking about, what size reservoir is it going into, what's the detention time, so they can understand, you know, sort of the blending and the dilution that's going on. Based on kind of a preliminary look at that, it's likely that they'll require some monitoring of the water quality and an assessment of its potential to include harmful bacteria. And then depending on what's found through that monitoring, it could result in a requirement to do a higher level of treatment at the treatment plant. And at that point, it would probably be, may not be worth it to use the water just because of the cost and the relative small volume of water. So our goal with this initial study is just to have those initial conversations with DDW, get a sense of, you know, the amount of monitoring and the length of monitoring that they're going to want to see, and then also give, you know, based on information that we have, which may not be a lot, but sort of the probability and likelihood that this could result in a pretty expensive water treatment plant upgrade. Although that may not be able to be determined until we start to get some of that data back. Through this initial effort, we'll be able to give the district a better sense of the cost and the timeline associated with bringing this water in, and an initial sense of probability. It's possible at the end of this, you know, initial step, we'll say, you know, the chances of doing this are pretty low, or its likelihood of you having to expend significant dollars to make this work is pretty high, in which case it may be recommended that it's probably not worth it at all. So that's kind of our goal here, is to figure that out.
Yeah, why this is important is we found out with our...
I can't hear you.
Oh.
Here, let me do this. Can you hear us now?
Yes, okay. I can.
Part of the reason about why this is important is every gallon that we pump in there from the river could potentially be used as potable water, and We've been able to, I think we've pumped in the last few years, 5 or 6 years, 1,100 acre feet. So that's a substantial amount of water. And at any time, because it's the state views that as a bank, we could use that 1,100 acre feet at any time. So if we can get permission to utilize that for potable water, when we have a drought or something dire, it's already done. We don't have to ask forgiveness for using it. We can just go ahead and utilize what we've had stored. Now, when we looked at expanding the Calera Reservoir, I think we were looking at getting another 300 or 400 acre feet, and it's going to be well over $10 million. So if we're able to do this, this is a huge, substantial increase in our potential storage. So I think it's very highly relevant, and we should definitely be looking at this.
Yeah, what you're considering to be a killer to the project in because of the amount of money may ultimately be the cheapest way we have to go if we do need more water based on the study that we're doing. So I think this is totally the right thing to do, is at least find out the facts and get started on looking at what it would take to do this.
You know, another piece to this that I want to make sure that when we go down this road at looking at it, that we do everything we can to preserve the current uses of the lake as is, because I think that's very important to the community. So it's possible that we could potentially do both. And we also may find out that because we already have membrane treatment, that we may be closer to that standard than we originally thought. But we won't know until we go down that road. And I think West Yost has the capabilities to help take us down that road.
So, question. I think I know the answer, but since this is such a big deal that this water is used for recreation, this water, raw, without treatment, could not be used for golf course irrigation?
It can. And as a matter of fact, we should probably start using Clementia from time to time, because as we're in the application period for our water right, we need to demonstrate use. And so there should be some discussions about utilizing a little bit of this every year just to show the state, like, hey, we're actually using it, if we want to retain that right when the permit period is over.
Is there a way to substantially drain it before the pumping season so that we can pump more water into it that's theoretically available to?
I mean, we could drain it to use for the golf course if we needed to, but we already, like I said, we have a bank of 1,100 acre feet right now that we maintain.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the future.
Yeah,
And the overall water plan. If we had a way of just dumping it all into Bass Lake and putting it on the golf course, and now we've got volume there that we can pump into that can be used for potable water.
The one thing that would be getting our way from that is there's also a right to the runoff, and the runoff utilizes most of the storage. So that runoff, it can only be used for recreational purposes, from what I understand.
That can't be used on the golf course.
Right. Now, we can, well, because we have a bank of 1,100 acre feet, we can use up to that amount.
I get that. But while we're in this process of finding out what we can and can't do as far as amendment to our permit, shouldn't we ask? Can we amend the permit to use it for golf course watering? Use that runoff for golf course watering?
We can take a look at that for sure. That's going to be a difficult thing to do, but yes.
But it's, that would be like, if we could do that, I think it would go a long ways towards increasing our water supply, potable water supply.
And that's part of a larger discussion that we have for another water right that we're working on getting a change of use for. What we, in theory, what I see us doing is shifting more raw water onto the golf course and utilizing recycled water elsewhere to maintain that responsibility, but also at some point we're going to have to limit what the golf course gets to make sure that we can reliably serve our other customers. And so part of that is shifting our raw water from other areas onto the golf course, and it's just a matter of how we do it. But that's a part of the larger discussion, Randy, that we're taking a look at.
Yeah, I just think if we're opening up this door to looking at what we can change in the permit, now is the time to be asking these questions on what we can and can't do. I guess if we can take water out of Clementia and water the golf course, so can we change the permit to say that the runoff isn't just for it is for recreational purposes only, which includes watering the golf course? If we could do that, we could theoretically empty Clementia, pump water into it that would be totally usable for potable water.
Yeah, right? Yeah. At the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will. I meet with our water rights expert almost regularly, so I'll ask him that. What would be our chances of? Because he's working on a change of use for us, and so we'll look at that as well for sure.
I have two questions. Are the pipes already there to go from Clementia to Bass Lake, or would we have to put that infrastructure in?
No, I don't believe.
No, we don't have.
We can go to Lake 11.
We can go to Lake 10.
Okay.
Lake 11, but not to Bass Lake.
Oh, so it could. It's already, the infrastructure's already there to get it down to the golf course somehow so that it could be used.
So for the south, yes.
For the south.
If we were going to put infrastructure in, we do get the blessing from DDW to utilize the water for Clementia, we would put in permanent infrastructure to tap into that manhole that's in the force main that goes all the way up to Claro from Clementia. And while we're doing it, we may take a look at, hey, what's the feasibility of extending that to Bass Lake?
Well, and I go back to in the big picture, you know, if we need to find more water for development, and this, despite what it appears to be the cost and stuff, this may end up being our cheapest way if we can go this way.
Definitely.
Because what's the alternative? Spending the $10 million to increase the size of the reservoir?
Or wells.
Yeah.
That's why we want to try to get a good sense of the success so we can include it in the plan.
Right.
And then the cost of the study is less than Mimi's limit? So this does not have to go to the board for approval?
Yeah, that's correct. I just brought it to the improvements committee to discuss it and get a sense of should we move forward?
I think it's a no-brainer. We got to start looking at all our options as far as finding more water, because it's going to become an issue, and this is a good place to start. So
great.
I think the improvements committee is on board, and we approve going forward. We.
Well, thank you, Catherine. Did you have anything else to say before we move on to the next?
Just thank you. I look forward to working with you guys on this, and hopefully we'll be back with some good news in a few weeks.
Great. Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.
All right, next. Just a quick update on our SB 170 projects. Our ground lease safety improvements are nearing the 90% design, and we'll soon be doing a review session on those. Along with that, we'll be getting an engineer's estimate. And then we're pausing the water facility improvements until we get engineer estimates on the other two projects. For the wastewater, chlorine gas, and sodium hypochlorite contact tank improvements project, we met with the engineers again. We discussed the additional preliminary design issues related to the contact tank and storage plan. We're getting a cost for an additional contact tank alternative, and then the group will move the designers in one direction to develop the design of that alternative. Marty's a part of that group, and then we will start reviewing design as they create the design, and that'll be the third design that we'll need to get done. We'll take a look at what the amounts are, take a look at our checkbook, and then move forward accordingly. Lost Lake's been receiving a lot of attention lately. Apparently, our electrical facilities there are less than optimal. A lot of it's temporary. We've been told that consists of potential shock and fire hazards, including the use of several extension cords. And this, apparently the electrical, the breaker is not sized correctly, and that's why we're getting constant failure of the fountain and the aerator, most primarily due to overloaded circuits. So the thought would be, okay, well let's fix this. Quote for the electrical services includes a new breaker panel, two new circuits, GFCI circuits, a new receptacle. Work has been quoted for $9,000 from our electrician, which does not include the district doing the trenching, which we can easily do. This project's envisioned to go a long way in maintaining improved operation of the aerators, fountain, mosquito control, which is part of our responsibility for stormwater. Basically, the country club owns the property. They're responsible for the upkeep. We're responsible for upkeeping our stormwater system, which includes the lake. And so by doing this, we could keep the lake better aerated more frequently. It will be less odor and happier residents.
RMA is involved in this somehow, right? There was a verbal agreement that we did.
There's a written agreement.
Oh, there is.
It's about this long.
Okay.
And it's where they pay the electricity, and then we provide the infrastructure for the aerators. And I think it just makes sense for us to take over the fountain as well. You're supposed to operate the fountain, but it's all within our realm. So I've kind of been telling Rod, we'll just kind of take care of the fountain.
Okay.
So thought is, you know, even though it's not our property, because these implements support the maintenance of the lake, that it's probably our responsibility to upgrade the electrical, take away the fire hazard and shock risk, and make it where things don't fail.
Okay. Well, I don't disagree. There ought to be one entity. The whole original agreement was so convoluted. It ought to be one entity that takes care of it, and instead of like back in the old days when we fight with each other over who's responsible for what on these things that just should be taken care of. I agree. Let's just our responsibility. And we'll do the best we can to clean it up.
Okay. So we'll get that electrical contract moving. Let's see, biosolids at the wastewater facility. We'll be removing biosolids this year. We didn't last year. The price per ton did go up substantially from $43 a ton in 2021 to $63.15 a ton for this year. And if we wait until after October 15th, it goes up to $70 a ton. We estimate about 300 to 350 tons, and so that'll end up being about $22,000 if we do it before the 15th, and there's every reason that we would do it before that. There's no reason
right,
we would wait.
We're just waiting for the lab results to come back.
And I know we've looked at alternative sludge haulers in the past with really no success at this point in time. We should probably take another look for next year because of that increase in price, just to see. It's sludge hauling and any kind of biosolids work is a pretty specialized fee, and sometimes they kind of have you over a barrel. But this treatment plant, most conventional wastewater treatment plants, biosolids is about 60% of the operating costs dealing with sludge, because we don't have any sludge digesters or activated sludge or any of that. We save a lot of money, and so even though they went up, you know, almost, you know, a little over $20 a ton, you know, that we're probably looking at another $6,000 or $7,000, which is nothing compared to other plants' biosolids cost. But we should definitely see if we can't find another hauler and remover.
Are there other haulers?
There may be somewhere. We don't know if they're regional. I don't know. I haven't checked yet.
The last time Paul looked around, Synagro was the only one local that would remove what we had. And but as Michael said, we haven't looked lately, but as he said, it is a specialized field. So we can do some research to see, but there hasn't been local to where it would, you know, obviously there's places like down south or whatever, but, you know, you got to pay for them to drive up here and get it.
Yeah. What does someone like Sacramento County do when they must do this yearly or twice a year or something? Do they put it out to bid, or do they just go with this Synagro?
They probably put it out to bid, and Sac Regional probably has some biosolids fields of their own where they just apply it. But that's a good question. That might be someone that we contact at Sac Regional to see what do you guys do with your sludge, or what is, you know, maybe contact another smaller plant like Jackson. They might have someone that picks up their sludge.
Yeah.
So I think it's.
So we're going to get rid of this before the
yes.
price goes up, and then for next time we'll look around.
Sure. You know, what makes the sludge hauling so expensive is where they have to take it. It has to be a facility that has a Class B or better plan for application. So it's not like you just take to the dump. Or sometimes with Class A, I think you can, but it's a little bit more difficult for the disposal. List Station 3B update. The mechanical and civil construction is likely to commence on September 11th. We found out they're still waiting on some valves. So that's moving along. We have a process hazard analysis. We've discovered that we need to update our process hazard analysis for the use of chlorine gas, both our water and wastewater facilities. We have contacted our risk management entities, and Condor Earth was able to perform the actual work. Yet the attached proposal to complete the process hazard analysis on a time and materials basis for $6,600. Until we convert our facilities to sodium hypochlorite, the district will need to update this plan every 5 years. Probably wants to just hold off and get our designs and construction done and be done with it, not spend the money, but then that might be, well, it's going to be, I mean, even when we put it out to bid, it's a year out till the improvements would be complete.
Yeah.
So we're kind of stuck with this one last time.
Yeah, you got to do it.
And it's overdue, so we need to move forward.
I get it.
Oh, and we do have a GIS sewer inspection update. Millie, can you get on GIS? Do you have GIS?
I have GIS.
Yeah, let's get on GIS. We'll give Randy a quick overview of our
something fun.
Yeah. Oh boy.
It is actually one of the coolest things we have here is our GIS. And it's right here. La 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 la. You want to drive?
Yes, please. I didn't know you were a self-pod.
I'm not. It just connects to the synapses in my brain that I can think and keep my the electricity going up there.
No comment.
If it weren't for me doing quirky little things, what fun would I be?
All right, so we've started doing some condition assessment.
And so point out, is that Laguna Joaquin?
Yeah, that's Laguna Joaquin. And we started doing this sewer camera and TVing in some of the older sections. And what you're seeing are a list of little defects. And so when I click on each sewer pipe, oops, let me turn off the property. So we'll take a look at this one sewer line. First, we have the information of, you know, what the material is, the diameter, the length, the average depth, invert elevation, year installed, and slope. So we have a lot of good information right off the bat. Then we click on our inspection. Up and go back up to the get a plot of the pipe, and each one of these is an inspection component. Some of them are just normal, like a tap is that's just a lateral coming in, but you can see here this is surface aggregate visible, deposits, attached grease, and then you can go to here's the observations. Showing the taps, showing it's like there's some debris in lateral. Showing some aggregate.
So then do we go out and jet out where there's the debris?
Yes, yeah, we'll fix that.
So that's the easy thing to fix, huh?
Let me open up another one.
And do we own the equipment to take the pictures?
No, we don't.
So we hire somebody to go...
Yes.
Run a camera through there?
Run a camera and rate it.
And what?
And rate it.
Rate
the pipe.
So you find some debris in there. I guess the whole idea is to fix the problem. So
right,
you
right.
You go clean it out and take the debris out, and then this is updated to say.
Well, the next time we go through,
exists.
Yeah, the next time we go through, it'll be updated. We're not really looking for debris as much as we're looking for offset joints, holes in pipe, that type of thing. When they see it, they just say it, and then we'll. And so we're going to add a component to this where, after we flush a line, we mark it out in the field like this has been flushed and it has a time, date, stamp. So if we ever have a sewer overflow or something like that, we can go back and say, hey, we cleaned it out at this and this time. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do an inspection. You know, we're going to get through most of the system and then we'll start over again. So maybe in another 3 or 4 or 5 years, we'll come through again. So this is a better representation of what we're looking for, like joint offsets. Oh, and it seemed they had to abandon the survey because there was a joint offset on this pipe, so they actually have it in two pieces.
So if you click on the joint offset large, it gives you a picture of the pipe and what the offset looks like.
Yeah, see right here? There's this. And so now this is also at 23.8 feet. So we can go. We can now go to the video. Not to the video. And we'll go to the 20 feet foot mark. That's, there's a little footage at the bottom. It's kind of hard to see.
It was 6 minutes.
There it is, and what'll happen is it'll come in and then it'll pan all around so you can see more of the details of the break, see how bad it is.
And then you
so
know
this is great. I mean,
leaking up into the through the pavement that it's
yeah. And see now they see you're able to see you know the defect that we have, and this will be nice for out in the field trying to find a lateral. They'll be able to just double click this and say, oh, it's at such and such a feet. And the other nice piece is we also get a rating. So this is a NASCAR rating. This is from a national sewer rating. Based on the defects in the pipe, it gives you an overall rating. So what we'll be able to do in the future is just search. So how many ratings above a certain mark do we have? And they'll light up. And then we'll be able to, okay, that's a potential project in that area. Mm.
So when it gets to a certain level, then you got to go fix it.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And then we're going to add, like I said, we're going to add a maintenance component to this. So when they clean it or some kind of repair was done, it'll be logged in the GIS in the system. And it'll keep track. And then we'll be able to say, well, how many lines have we not got to in 3 years? And they'll be able to pull them up and then be able to assign tasks to people. So this is kind of a step in the right direction. You know, I'm still trying to evaluate what we need to be doing for our water lines. It's a little, you know, it's a little.
So is the sewer done? The entire community is on no. The system?
Oh, yeah, all the sewer lines are in.
All the sewer lines.
But the inspection is the highlighted yellow. Portion. And we'll probably do a little bit every year as it allows. Now, if we had our own TV van, which is expensive, and send our guys to PACP training, you know, we could go through and do it ourselves, which I actually did at my last agency. Got everybody certified. We already had a TV van, so it was kind of easy to go do it ourselves.
What's the magnitude of how much do these guys want to do this work?
This was $15,000 to get this done.
Not the GIS, but the actual
inspection.
Inspection.
Yeah, like I said, this is $15,000
to get this. For that section, right?
Yeah, for that section.
How many of those sections would you have to do before you can afford your own equipment?
That's a good point. I mean, well, a TV van's probably.
That looks like that's maybe 5% of the community or something, and that was 15,000.
Yeah,
that's probably less than
5%. Well, a van. Last time I bought a van, it was a little over 450,000. And then there's cameras and things that you have to buy.
And you have manpower.
We're kind of at that. It feels like we're kind of at that stage of the game where we're not quite large enough to justify our own van. So I think that's why we're just going to have someone do it.
How long did it take them to do that amount there for $15,000?
Travis, do you remember how long that took?
I want to say
like a week and a half or something.
Yeah, they weren't able to do it all in one shot. You know, they did it have to come back, but I think all total was like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you had a TV van. You know, a crew of 3 or 4 people, you could probably get through this in a year, maybe. If you're doing
just quick in my head, I was thinking that if that's 5%, and it took them a week and a half, then it'd be 20 times a week and a half, which is, you know, close to a year.
And do we necessarily need to do the whole system? You know, the newer stuff we probably don't. Mm-hmm. Like the stuff they just put in retreats, we probably wouldn't. We're just kind of hit the priority stuff. So that's kind of a little update of what we've been doing lately with GIS, more of the exciting items.
So you got the whole beyond the maintenance portion. You've got every piece of pipe that's every sewer pipe in the community is logged, and
so are all the water pipes too, right?
Yeah. Let me turn those on.
So for purposes of reserves, we know exactly how much of everything we've got.
So the purple is.
I'm able to. I'm able to give the consultant this. Get the consultant shape files, or we can do. You can put out an Excel report of every last stick. So we have lengths and more importantly, we have ages and depths.
Yeah.
So Aurora's been working on, that's what she's been working on a lot, is getting everything, going through all the plans and finding the year it was built and how deep it is, because that's going to translate into dollars. And so our consultant will be, they already have all the sewer stuff, and she's finishing up the water stuff in the north. And so once they have that, consultant will be able to put better values on that pipe. Yeah. We also have the storm as well and the raw water lines.
Yeah, I get it. A 20-foot deep pipe to replace is a lot different than a 5-foot deep, and it's not linear. It's exponential, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say yeah. As we saw last year with the storm pipe that we had to redo, that was an unfortunate project.
Very good. I like that.
And that concludes my report.
That's it.
No comments from the public. So I got a question about the comment you made about we need to start using more raw water for the country club, so that we can take care of our customers with recycled water. Can you expand on that, or what's your thoughts?
Well, I think it was the same thing. My thoughts kind of the same thing what you were saying earlier. The more recycled water that we use, the more potable water use we displace and have available for our current and future residents. If we can utilize, like currently, the whole garden system is set up to take recycled water, like today. There's a few pieces of infrastructure that we don't have to get them that recycled water. And then we also need to iron out how and when the country club utilizes recycled water. So they're not set up, the gardens isn't set up to take raw water. So it makes sense to utilize more raw water for the country club and less recycled water. Now they have a pump in the river that's actually the district's water right. And I'm working on getting an official change of use for that so we could utilize that anywhere for raw water. The thought is we will work with the country club, provide them more raw water when it makes sense, so we have enough recycled water for our recycled water customers. Especially when we move into, once Village A is built, you know, they're planning to take recycled water, and at that point it may make sense to start serving their retreats as well. We could put them on their system. Because in order to serve someone water, you need to be able to provide some kind of a day tank storage or some kind of a pressurization. Like just pumping it up, just having the retreats take it whenever we pump it up to the north won't cut it. So we'd have to provide, and there's a couple of different ways we could do it. One way we could set up a line that's connected to the retreats and the gardens and have special pumps at the wastewater treatment plant where the water is being kept in the contact tank. And so as the demand ebbs and flows, the pumps just ramp up and ramp down to meet that demand from the treatment plant. Or we could have a hydrodynamic tank set up across the freeway that can take water from the wastewater treatment plant that would be pumped from those variable speed pumps to keep the gardens, commercial and residential, pressurized and available. So there's some pieces that are missing that will enable us to serve them. But the thought is, when we start needing to serve more recycled water customers, that's when we'll need to have those conversations with the country club about, yeah, we're going to get you the water, but it's going to be a mix of something, and we're going to control how much raw water you get and how much recycled water you get, because they can take both, but the recycled water customers can only take recycled water.
Which also fits into the thought that if we could just pull water out of Clementia and go into Lake Ten or Bass Lake, that would fit the whole idea of what you're talking about.
That'll expand even more recycled water possibilities. Mm-hmm. Currently, there's, I think it's 400 to 500 acre feet that we're not taking advantage of, we're just letting go down the river.
Right.
And so I want to start utilizing more of that, and then maybe between that and Clementia, we could, you know, require Village B and C. I don't remember if they were supposed to have recycled water or not. No, Village A is.
If eventually we're definitely going to supply recycled water to Village A, wouldn't you want to put a tank up at the top of Village A and pump the recycled water up there, and then go gravity flow there, all of that?
Correct. And so it's kind of a timing issue. So that's why I was mentioning earlier about maybe we pull the retreats on when Village A comes on for recycled. We can utilize our gravity system.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to supply recycled water to the gardens sooner than that, we may want to do something separate. You know, apparently the district did invest in some pipes underneath E16, which is great.
Because we got some kind of a grant or something, and so we did it because we could.
And that's super helpful. That'll mean that we don't have to spend a whole lot of money to get them served. But we definitely, once we start serving them, we need to make sure that becomes another priority, that we have to always keep them served. And so that means we're going to have discussions with the country club about how their water is provided.
But in the meantime, how does all of that relate to the new water plan? I guess we haven't got there yet. We haven't got to the solution portion of the plan yet, but when we get there, all of this will be thrown into the mix.
We're already starting to talk about, you know, what are some of our options, and I think, you know, what you talked about, if we could get additional water from Clementia for irrigation, or it's most valuable for us to use it for potable. So we're going to try for that as well. I mean, that's what we just talked about. And so we're going to get some kind of a probability on that, and then we just move forward with the plan. If it looks very favorable, then that's how we would move forward in the Integrated Water Master Plan.
Yeah. And my point wasn't so much, the idea would be to make it all potable, so that if the runoff can be used for irrigating the golf course, that now that the runoff goes over there and we pump the replacement in, and it's that portion that's available for potable, right?
There's also a storage limit with the current water right. So I think our storage limit is, what, 2,600 acre feet? And that doesn't count what we use. But that's our net storage limit. So there's a limitation on what we can store.
But we're not maximizing that.
I don't think so. Yeah. We typically have enough every year on a normal year to pump a few hundred acre feet into Clementia. And so because of that, we have water stored we can utilize.
Gotcha. Very good. Any other comments, suggestions? Hearing none, we are adjourned. We will reconvene in October, first week of October, right?
That's right. Everything's off go for October.